Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, brother. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, great Scott.
All is well with you.
All is well. All blessed right. Man today. Oh, how about yourself?
You know, I am indeed. 85 today?
You may want to turn that because we're going to confuse some people there. Let's see, 85, maybe. I mean, mid-80s.
That's be all right.
And it's a strange forecast, partly sunny with some sprinkles, it says.
Yeah, so, I've seen that before.
That's interesting, but that's okay. That's all right.
Have you seen that commercial about it's ice cream, and then they're oil drillers? And this guy's all excited, and he says, "We hit sprinkles." Have you seen that?
I don't think I've seen
it. You know how
that,
the oil shoots up the oil rig?
Yeah.
Well, sprinkles were shooting up it.
Okay.
And the guy just lays his head back and opens his mouth.
Yeah. Don't even have to pick them up.
Yeah, well, this is the day the Lord has made.
Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you just turn it around a little bit. But the truth is there.
It's just the confused truth is there. A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So we stay confused.
I do. Yeah. I stay confused a lot.
And I think that's why folks like this show, is because we're confused, and they can relate to that.
Now, that could be. You may have hit on something.
Oh, boy.
And if you want to really find out how confused we are, you can give us a call at 789-0318. See, I'm already confused.
Yeah,
606-789-0318. You can also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. We are on Facebook Live. If you want to go to our page, it's God's Point of View. Make sure you find the right one.
Sure.
And you will find us live there on Facebook. Also, the great Scott has so graciously, as I like to say, has given his number that if you'd like to call him later, maybe leave him a message, let him call you back, or you could text him during the show if you'd like.
Anyway.
At 606-367-0137. That's 367-0137.
Yes. Yeah, we want to be as accommodating as we can possibly be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to add a little bit more to the question we got last week. I went back and did a little research. I love to go back. I love it that the Bible doesn't change.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's there. I mean, it doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today.
And tomorrow.
And tomorrow. So the lady called in last week, if you're listening this morning, we concluded that we thought it would be during the tribulation period, probably the first 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what my sources also believe. That there will be a rebuilding
of the temple.
Of the temple, and it'll be on that Dome of the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people say, well, you're crazy because there's a mosque there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a lot of things can happen when God's involved. Amen.
More than we can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So
and his ways are not our ways.
Oh, no. No, and his thoughts.
Are not our thoughts.
Absolutely. But we're trying to get closer to him.
Absolutely.
And one of the ways we're doing that is remembering what this week is all about.
Absolutely.
This is known as the Passion Week or the Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday. This is what's been called Maundy Thursday. This is Thursday, isn't it, brother?
It is.
Maundy Thursday. And the word mandi means command. And so when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he said, this command I give unto thee. So he's talking about, I'm washing your feet, now you ought to wash each other's feet.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about service there. Although some churches do actually literally wash feet, I don't know, maybe about this time of year.
Maybe.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Let me be on record as saying, as I've after nearly 45 years, I think I've been on record more than once saying that. As a matter of fact, old brother Music and I washed each other's feet one time in a Sunday morning service. And I was preaching on foot washing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the best way to preach on the subject is to demonstrate it.
Yeah, that's always works for me.
Yeah. I wish Leo would clean his feet up a little bit more. No, that's what most folks do, though. They get their feet clean. They put the powder on it, you know. They clean it, clip their toenails.
Oh, yeah.
But that really kind of takes away from the true meaning of it.
Yeah.
So I just let mine go.
I don't believe it.
Brother,
I don't believe that.
A little humor there, a little humor.
Very little.
So this is Palm Sunday or Holy Week.
Yeah,
I mean, the first day of it's Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Tuesday, there's no activity mentioned in the Bible on Tuesday.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Hmm. There's Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. Monday and Tuesday apparently appears to be some kind of a rest day. God believes in taking a rest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He did after creation, he took a rest.
And it's still involved.
Amen.
If I understand it correctly. So this pilgrimage of going to Jerusalem, a lot of people are doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on since the 4th century. So it's been around for a long, long time. Let me see here. Something popped up here like we had a question. Let me see from somebody. I don't see the question in our email. I wonder if it's on...
I felt a buzz.
Did you?
Yeah, it may have been your phone. I'm not sure. So.
May have been.
Maybe
let's
a
see.
Text message or something.
Yeah, well, let me go there and see what I can find.
But for a lot of folks that don't understand what maybe Good Friday is coming up, and why do we call it good? If that was the day that Jesus was crucified.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Easter, the kids hide eggs and they do the bunny, but that's not what Easter is about.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's not what Easter is about.
And all the ladies get a new dress and those kinds of things, but that's not what Easter really is about.
No.
It's okay that they do those things.
Well, that's one of the things I thought we might talk about today. So it's timely that you brought that up. You open the door and I'll walk in.
Amen. I'll close it behind you.
Thank you, brother. Before we close the door, though, we did get a message, Facebook Messenger.
Oh, okay.
From a young lady who says, I have a question. Where does the Bible talk about the ark? So let's be clear. There's an ark that Noah built.
Mm-hmm. That's a boat.
Right. Or the old bluegrass gospel song calls it a V-bottom boat. It's a good song. And it's kind of shaped like a V-bottom.
I'd say it's probably the biggest V-bottom.
Yeah, I'd say you're right.
Anyway.
But it's one ark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, where Noah and his family were saved. All humanity was lost.
And that story would be in...
There's my Bill Barker impersonation.
And a very good one, too.
Well, that's in the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back to Genesis and about chapter 6, God decided that he was going to eliminate and wipe off the face of the earth his creation, all except the faithful.
Because we were wicked.
Well,
people
were. You know, when your heart is continually on evil, that says a lot about you as a race.
Yeah.
But that's one ark. But and when they got in there, and then Noah closed the door, didn't he?
No, the Lord closed the door.
This is a test. You passed it. You're absolutely correct. The Lord
shut
the door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't that be terrible for the Lord to shut the door on people? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think it denotes the righteousness and the justice of God.
God has to be a just God.
He must be a just God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people are told over and over and over, and this is what's going to happen now if you don't do better, this I believe is one of the reasons that there's no respect for the law in the land. I believe, what was his name? Buford T. Justice.
On Smokey and the Bandit?
Smokey and the Bandit. He said, we have a total disrespect for the law.
Yeah.
And I think that's true in our court system. I think it's true with the police officer, the the cop on the beat. I think it's true with the parents, and I think it's true with the school system. You put somebody on death row and leave them there for 30 years for a murder they committed, sometimes heinous, mm-hmm. more than one murder, and you let them sit there and enjoy life and all the luxuries of life and on our dime.
Yeah.
I think Ecclesiastes tells us that when execution or when justice is not speedily executed,
mm-hmm.
and it could be execution, it could be life imprisonment, it could be any number of things, but when that is not speedily executed, the hearts of men are on evil continually.
Yep.
Their hearts are going to look for ways. So that's what happened, sister, in the first ark. That was Noah's ark. That saved him and his family. But there's another ark, and that's probably the one you're talking about, and that's the Ark of the Covenant. And if you go back to the Old Testament book of Samuel, and you'll read about the ark, and you'll read about how the ark was abused, the ark was neglected in one instance for 70 years. It just lay in an old boy's backyard, and everybody knew what it was, but you know, took it for granted. It was always there. Well, you remember the story, I'm sure, about Uzzah, who they were transporting the ark, and there was a certain way it had to be transported. Everybody couldn't do it. It had to be a Levite, and they had staffs, you know, they put in there and carried it. Well, they was doing that on a cart, which I think was a violation first and foremost there, because I don't read where a calf was supposed to be pulling the cart. It was supposed to be transported in a certain way. This again seems harsh of God. God said, "This is the way I want you to do it."
Very, very disciplined.
Yes, and they didn't.
Yeah,
and so the oxen stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And the cart tipped, and the ark was about to hit the ground. Now, this is the representation of God, this ark is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little box about 3 feet long, maybe 2 feet wide. Indiana Jones movies was all about the Ark of the Covenant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good movies, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so there was a certain prescribed way. Well, Uzzah, walking alongside of it, pretty good old boy, I'd say. What we call a good old boy, a gob, yeah. And he saw it was going to hit the ground, and he wanted to protect the ark. So he reached up and touched it to keep it from falling, and he died immediately.
Mm.
You say, well, what kind of God is that? That's a God that believes in justice. Uzzah knew not to touch that ark. Everybody knew not to touch that ark. The priests were the only ones that could transport it and have anything to do with it. Inside that ark was Aaron's rod that budded, the incense, the two tablets, and those represented God. Cherubims on top of the ark was what's called the mercy seat, where God would come down and intervene and talk with Moses. And so it was a special representation of God. Some people say, well, I just read last week where they found it. I've had people say they found it on Mount Ararat. They've never found the ark. I don't believe they ever will. Unless God wants them to.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
But if we found it, we'd probably try to worship it.
Well, probably. But it is interesting that people would just look at the outside appearance of why is God so you know, Uzzah was trying to do good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a reflex that you would do. If something's going to hit the ground, and I'm sure he thought it was.
Sure.
It was the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to save it. But God said, no, if they hadn't have done what God told them not to do to begin with, he'd never had a problem.
Absolutely. That Ark was stolen once by the Philistines, taken to their temple, put in their temple next to their god, Dagon.
Mm-hmm. Didn't go so well.
Didn't go so well.
Yeah.
Come in the next morning, and Dagon, the statue of him, is all turned over and on the ground.
Yeah. And we're doing the same thing. Civilization, mankind is still doing the same thing. God tells us, this is the way I want you to do things. And we're like, it's not, you know, it don't have to be exactly like that.
You're absolutely correct, Timothy.
So history just repeats itself.
Let's take the fire recently.
Which one?
Well, there's been several.
I know.
But the most recent one over at
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Is it Notre Dame or Notre Dame? Or
well, what? I guess it depends on what side of the pond you're on.
Well, what do we say?
Well, I always knew it as Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But then again, well, I'm just a god.
Do you have to add the hunchback in that?
I don't.
Just Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Well, you know that belongs to the state?
No.
It does not belong to the Catholic Church.
Oh.
It belongs to France.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's become a museum of sorts.
Mom, you know, it really surprises me, and I understand history and all that, but people are, man, they're in a big uproar, and how many millions of dollars, I guess, is going to come in, and when they're going to have it complete. I don't know if the fire was out, and they were talking about, we're going to rebuild it, we're going to do this and that. And I'm thinking, in the world that we live in that's full of nonsense, and you're making a big deal out of that.
Yeah.
This surprises me.
Well, this may surprise you then. They were doing some construction, supposedly, but the construction had not even started.
Interesting.
And so someone thought maybe someone had flipped a cigarette to one of the workers or, you know, electrical problem. Nope, none of that. From the sources that I have read.
Oh, have we heard?
If you even go there, like the commercial I saw with this car dealer, and this guy said to him, "Say what about?" He said, "We're the biggest car dealer in the country." The guy started to say, "Well, what about the city?" And the guy said, "Don't even go there." So you can't. You see, if you say, "Well, maybe it was arson," or maybe Islam has something to do with that. I was watching Neil Cavuto the other day. I love Neil. Neil, I love you if you're listening to us today on Fox News. And Bill Donahue's, I guess, president of the Catholic League, a great apologist for Catholicism. And, boy, he'll take you right to the mat. And he said, what about the suspicious? And Neil said, we don't want to go there.
Oh.
And the guy said, Bill Donahue went on further trying to pursue. Well, it's kind of, Neil cut him off.
Wouldn't have it.
Cut him off. Because it goes against what the program calls for. And it seems like we go out of our way to protect the religion of Islam. No? Oh, don't say anything negative about it. Did you know how many fires there have been in the last 2 years in Europe? Church fires.
A lot.
Over 1,000.
Are you serious?
I'm serious as a dead man.
Wow.
Yeah. And Islam is determining all over the world to destroy Christendom.
Wow.
But if you suggest that they had anything to do with it, you'll be in trouble.
Hate speech.
Yeah. Well, it goes right along with what we saw this morning, or some of us saw, the report from the Attorney General, Barr.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I haven't got to see anything.
No collusion.
Yeah.
No collusion. Absolutely no collusion.
But they're going to keep digging.
They will keep digging.
And spending millions of dollars.
Of course they will, in addition to what they've already spent.
Yeah.
So what should... We have a culture that is... They go through the motions of observing Holy Week. Most people... This is going to sound harsh. Most people will go to church Sunday. They go to church... That maybe they don't go very often, but they'll go Sunday. And folks, we want you to go.
Amen.
But we want you to get not just in the habit of going to church, but getting right with God. And then you'll want to go to church.
Yeah.
But Easter means more peeps, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty dresses. And
then looks good to some of the organizations or whatever you're doing, some of the denominations or whoever that has higher ups that like to keep count of your congregation. Looks good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what most churches do. You ask somebody, how many do you have in your church? Oh, we got 500. Well, that's maybe what's on their roll, but they don't have that in attendance.
Yeah.
We're still better than Europe in terms of attendance and certainly better than England.
Well, let's back up here and see, did we wrap up about the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, I think we did.
Okay.
This is God's presence with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll study in the book of 2 Samuel, you'll read about the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And David, as I said, the Philistines stole it for a while. Then David brought the ark back, and so it's it was simply a symbol of God and valued by the Israelis, by the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And when the temple was burned, yeah, I'm sorry about that, sister. I took a side road there. When the temple was destroyed, all of the vessels, all of the furniture, everything in the temple was destroyed. Many believe that the ark was preserved. Many believe that it was destroyed. But there's been this quest for it all these years.
Yeah.
And so it was simply a place that reminded Israel in a little box, about 3 feet by 2 feet, that reminded God's people of their history.
Amen.
Where they came from, who they were. Aaron's rod that budded, of course, had 12, if memory serves me, 12 buds on it, which is representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it had the tablets in there, which is the Ten Commandments, and the pot of incense, which was representing the prayers of the priest for the redemption of the people. Boy, that's good preaching, brother.
Yeah.
So now, of course, we are under a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But people are still mesmerized by the ark, and it's good, sister, that you wanted to know about the ark. Yeah, that's good. I think it's important to understand the Old Testament.
Oh yeah,
the Old Testament is a shadow of what was to come.
Yep.
So everything you read about in the Old Bible, for instance, Jesus said, and this is one of the favorite things that the LGBT community likes to say, well, the Old Testament says man should not lie with man, but Jesus never said anything about it. When people say that, they're showing their ignorance about the Bible. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
And the law shall, not one jot or one tittle will pass from it. Those were the two least grammatical signs in the language. Not a jot or a tittle will pass. So Jesus didn't destroy the law. He gave us a higher law. He fulfilled the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's several verses that would teach you about LGBT things in the Bible. Read Romans chapter 1. That's a good place to go. But back to the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence.
And it's a good idea for us to be reminded every day
Every day. But they took it for granted.
Yeah. And you think that's happening today?
Oh, you know it's happening today. The Lord's Supper, it's taken for granted.
Yeah.
If you belong to a church that washes feet, just take it for granted. Don't even think about what it means.
Yeah.
You'll wash somebody's feet and then tell a dirty joke on the way to the car.
Yeah.
I know it's happened. I've heard it.
Yeah. Same.
And we had to have a little Bible study after that.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's our job. That's what we're all supposed to be doing.
Now,
so Easter Sunday.
Yeah, we need to get with it because
you know it's coming up, don't you?
This Sunday.
Yeah. Somebody sent in a question one time about Easter's not even in the Bible. Well, you want to get, as old brother Short used to say, technical.
Yeah.
It's a mistranslation in the book of Acts. He says after Easter. Well, by the time the King James Bible was translated, a lot of words had been added that changed somewhat by the translators.
Mm-hmm.
They were hoping to give it a little more understanding, and many times they just confused the issue more. The word Easter has been around for many, many years. And some people say it came from the goddess of the East, symbolizing where the sun rises. There was a symbol, her symbol was the hare, or the rabbit, which was a symbol of fertility.
Oh.
And the festival was called Estri, and it was during the spring. What's that called? Equinox, I guess, is the word, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
And a group of people years ago by the name of the Saxons would honor her with a celebration. And then there's been two or three other things down through the ages. I'm not going to bore you, our listening audience, with all of those things. But the Christians celebrate Easter for one reason, and that's for the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Actually, we make too much of the Easter bunny, and we make too much of the Easter eggs, and we make too much of the Peeps, although my wife loves Peeps. We make too much of the commercialization of it. It's up to parents to decide what they want to do about that, and sometimes parents need to make better decisions. We all could make better decisions, but Easter, as we've in our in the last several hundred years, is associated with Passover, when the Passover lamb was slain. Well, Jesus is our Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And he was slain for us, and he rose from the dead. Actually, this Sunday, I like to call it Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
More than Easter.
Amen.
But I have no problem with you if that's what you want to call it. So, Easter or Resurrection Sunday, this is why we celebrate. This is why we are on this show today.
Yeah.
That's why we're on the air today.
Amen.
We want to try to bring people closer to God.
Well, back as you said, and I thought about this when you were saying about Noah warning people, there's all kinds of warnings. There's preachers every day on TV or every Sunday in the pulpits, especially here in eastern Kentucky,
yes, sir,
warning people. That's why we're here today, to educate you and to warn you.
That is exactly the reason.
Yeah.
And so in the Gospel of Mark, we read as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Mm-hmm. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go."
Mm.
Oh, my, oh, my. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and while others spread branches they had cut in the fields, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Mark 11, 1 through 10. But you know, that excitement didn't last long. That day was more exciting than the latest iPhone. That excitement, that day was more exciting than what phone is that they're having trouble with. They've not even had the new one out yet. The one that folds, the Android or whatever?
I don't know.
People get so excited over those.
Oh, stand in
things.
Line.
Yeah. Hosanna soon turned to crucify him.
In just a few short days.
Yeah. That was Palm Sunday. That was last Sunday that we observed that. And that changed just a short time from Hosanna to crucify. People were confronted with the weight and with the consequences of God. They had to choose. Choose self, do your own thing, or choose God. And that is playing out, friends, in human history, even this day and this hour. I hope you're all in church Sunday, but I hope more than that, mm-hmm, that you really come to a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View. I'd like to invite you to church services at the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. Of course, Sunday morning Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship Sunday will be at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And if we can be of any assistance, call the church at 789-6433. Again, 789-6433. And join us again next week for another edition of God's Point of View.